Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 122 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Real Dave's here.
What up? It's me, George.
I was going to say, your name is What Up now?
Hell yeah. That's just a weird name, isn't it? What up?
What up? What up, indeed? What's going on? Sorry, it's been a little while since we've done an episode. I got real sick for about a week and a half.
Yeah, you were on your deathbed.
I felt like it. I lost my voice and everything. It was just, I actually stayed home from work because I was so sick.
What?
Can you imagine that? I had like 100 and almost.
How did
100...
they allow you to do that?
I just did it. I almost had like 103 fever one day, like 102
shit.
Something. It was not a
did
good
throw
day.
Yourself in a like a tub of ice to bring down your fever?
I did take a cold shower, yeah. My wife actually had to help me upstairs because I was so weak I could not move.
Wow.
It was not a good day. Not my best day. But
everything in here is contaminated now. We're
now
all
we've,
now
we've Lysol the fuck out of this place. We're good. So what do you guys been up to?
Movies, TV yeah. shows. Been watching some of that. Been busy with the comic. The comic's really close to being ready to be sent to the printers.
I always feel so... When we talk about what we've been doing recently, you're like, yeah, we're producing comics. I'm like, yeah, I played a video game.
I played a video game too.
All right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't feel that bad anymore.
And what else? That's about it on my part. I started a new show with Justin. We started doing that.
Called the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
You were on an episode.
I was on and indeed.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a great show.
So yeah, that's all we've been doing is working on stuff and making each
creating
other's,
things.
Yeah, creating things. Trying to make 2017 a year of creation.
Make 2017 great for creating again.
Yeah, create again. And I'm also trying to script doctor my own stuff, and I want to finish writing a feature by the end of the year. Is my goal.
That's cool. Well, congrats on that.
Thank you.
I know it's hard work.
It's a lot of me going, no, that's not good enough, and starting over again. That's what it really is.
What game were you playing?
You let me borrow South Park Stick of Truth.
I didn't let you borrow it.
Well, you let
I let you borrow it a long time ago.
And it didn't work on my 360 because my 360 was crapping out. And so I played it on my Xbox One since it's backwards compatible now.
The back compat.
And
how'd you like it?
It's awesome. I loved it. It was
cannot
really
wait for the new game to come out.
Yeah, it's the only reason I played it, so I can get prepped for Fractured Butthole when that comes out in a couple of months.
If it comes out in a couple of months, I hope it does.
I'm pretty sure
the
it
day
is.
Right now is like March 31st. I looked it up today. I'm like, I got to get that game.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm thinking about pre-ordering it, but not too sure. I'm going to play it on PlayStation or Xbox. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go Xbox.
Yeah, me too. So what have you been up to, Dave? It's been a while.
I've been making art. And
see? Creativity.
No, I'm with you. I'm right there with you, man.
I need to find something I can create besides this.
hosted something on the Spaceboy Universe show. Last week.
Oh, cool.
That was pretty fun.
What show was that?
So I met this guy at the Houston Mini Maker Fair. It's Space Boy and Sirlana is his wife. They were at the Mini Maker Fair. And we got to talking podcasting and that kind of stuff and geekery and conspiracy theories and all this kind of stuff because they delve into some of that, and that's a hobby of mine.
Conspiracy theories is a hobby of yours?
Absolutely. If you don't know that, like,
I knew that.
I'm a skeptic. Like, I don't
believe
conspiracy theories.
But they're fun to look at.
But they're a hell of a lot of fun.
There's a show on Netflix called Conspiracies, and it's all about conspiracy theories.
Wasn't there a Mel Gibson movie at one point?
No, that movie's called Conspiracy Theory, and it's hella good. I enjoyed it, at least. I like Mel Gibson movie, at least the early 90s Mel Gibson stuff.
Before he went batshit.
I take that back, because I saw a movie recently, Bloodfather, really good. That was his latest movie he made that he was in.
Okay. He directed a movie, right?
He directed a movie that got nominated.
Yeah, he's nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, that Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
So back to your conspiracy theories.
Yeah, well, I spend way too much time watching conspiracy videos on YouTube and stuff.
What's your favorite conspiracy then?
I really like stuff that has to do with occult organizations and positions of power, so Illuminati kind of stuff, but heavy on the occult side, like stuff that you have all of these people doing black magic to rule the world, or satanic panic stuff. I also really enjoy.
You talk about it, I'm like, the only thing I can imagine in my head is Hellboy. BPRD stuff.
If BPRD was real and there was actually a top secret cabal of people who ran all of the world's governments and corporations and et cetera.
What do you mean if there was?
Yeah, well, but
we're not going there right now, though.
But it's all they're all directly under the influence and power of Lucifer or Satan or so whatever dark power you like.
Satan.
And they all do blood rituals, and everyone in Hollywood has to play along, and it goes on and on. Basically anything that's satanic panic or occult themed in nature, those are my favorite conspiracy theories. I like UFO stuff well enough, all that kind of thing, but I like the black magic.
I watched a documentary on UFOs recently. No, wait a minute, it was South Park.
That makes sense.
Better than a documentary because it's real, right?
Sure.
It was the early one where the aliens come and they give him the anal probe and the freaking thing comes out of his butt.
Wow, that's super early. It's episode 2 or 3, I think.
It was really early. It was on TV a couple weeks ago. We were just watching it. That's great.
But yeah, so the Space Bowl universe, they like to talk about some of that stuff. So oddly enough, we didn't talk about any of that when I was on the show. We just talked about movies.
The show about conspiracy theories?
It's not
just about
that. Oh. So he does electronic music. Under the term, the moniker Space Boy, and so that he does a music radio show, and then he does this talk radio show. And so we mostly talk movies and video games and geeky shit.
We'll definitely put a link to it in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah, had a lot of fun. They were fun to talk to. So I did that. I finished Doom on Nightmare.
God damn, dude!
Earlier today.
Your finger's okay?
Yeah.
It's getting that carpal tunnel in early.
It's
nightmarish.
It's weird how the learning curve on that game works. I've played it through 3 times now, increasing the difficulty as I go, and the curve is the same every time. Where it's really fucking hard right at first, you get a little bit of a lull, and then it gets really fucking hard again, and then by the end of it, you've kind of got it down, right? It's the same flow every time I've played it. It's really consistent. So to me, that says that they planned it really well. And
I scripted really well.
Yeah. It's done. It's really well done. So that was fun. Ultra Nightmare is not happening anytime soon.
There's an Ultra Nightmare?
Ultra Nightmare,
Nightmare is Nightmare difficulty, but
if you die, you start over from the beginning?
If you die, you have to start from the beginning.
How did I know that?
Yeah.
It's harder than the Nightmare Edition.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Is there an ultra nightmare?
No. I finally watched Batman versus Superman.
That was ultra nightmare movie.
That movie didn't make any sense at all.
It does not.
But it was.
Does it have to, though?
But it was watchable. It was fun enough.
What'd you call it before? You called it watchable garbage.
Garbage.
It's what it is, yeah.
It's fun enough to watch, but after it was over, I continued to think about it for a while, and the longer I thought about it,
the more it sucked.
The less sense it made as I went. It was a bizarre, weird mess of a movie. I didn't hate Ben Affleck as much as I thought I was going
to. Exactly right. He's the best thing in that movie, really.
No, I don't know.
Henry Cavill's pretty good.
I actually like Henry Cavill as Superman.
I just don't think he's handled correctly in the movies.
I think he is doing a really good job, and I think he is a good choice for the character, but everything that's going on around him from script to directing
they don't really
to
give,
whatever.
Any of the Superman movies that's come out recently, there was no real heroic Superman moments.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest problem, because that's what Superman is a guy who risks everything.
He's the all-American superhero.
Yeah, he's a guy who risks everything to save people, and no matter what it is.
I also just, I really didn't understand why Batman went immediately to, I have to kill this guy.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like a really...
Because it's an older, harder Batman.
Okay.
Disgruntled postal worker Batman.
It just didn't make any sense on that front.
He's like, fuck this guy, I'm gonna kill him.
He killed
a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah, he did. But still, just as a character move, that didn't make any sense to me.
Or the fact that they became best friends over... Your mom is made, Martha.
And then I
did we just become best friends?
While he's tripping balls about that, Lois Lane has to run in and explain it to him. What?
That's his mother's name.
That's his mother's name. God, this is stupid.
At one point, I wonder if those actors ever thought to themselves, this is kind of fucking stupid. I'm sure it's going to work out in editing.
Right. Let's trust the director here. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
At least not Zack Snyder.
No.
Or David Goyer to write your shit.
David Goyer is writing the... what movie is he writing?
The Green Lantern Corps. Yeah. Another one biting the dust.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a Lethal Weapon buddy cop space movie.
I've heard that. I just heard that. So a Lethal Weapon in space. So it's Guy Gardner and... what's the other guy's name?
Hal Jordan?
No, maybe it's Hal Jordan.
It's supposed to be Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
John Stewart, that's what I was thinking of. So, not John Stewart from The Daily Show, but...
John Stewart from the comics.
Right, the Black Green Lantern.
John Stewart, yeah.
And that could be fun.
Sure.
If it's done...
But David Goyer is writing it, and it's under the dark DC flag, so I don't think it's going to be very much fun.
They should have got the guy from the original Lethal Weapon guy. He's done a superhero movie before, so...
Yeah, Iron Man
3?
Yeah. Has to take place during Christmas, though. That's a stipulation in his contract.
What about the good guys?
You mean the nice guys?
Nice guys, thank you.
It takes place at Christmas at the end of the movie.
Oh, damn it. But it should be like the nice guys with Green Lantern Corps, though.
That would be awesome. That would be great. That's what
down.
I want.
That's, not David Goyer.
If they make a sensible villain for the movie, sure.
Not the cloud dude?
They got a good actor for that, too.
Yeah.
It just went to shit for some reason.
It was like Galactus in the Fantastic Four movie.
He had
it was
brain
just a
farts.
Cloud.
It was brain farts. So anyway, what have you been up to?
I finally completed Dead Rising 4. Now I want to...
For the fourth time?
No, first time. I was just trying to take my time. I'm sort of going back in there trying to find all the secrets because there's... I beat the game, but I'm only 49% done. I'm finding everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You want to find out those game secrets.
I do. I'm going to find those damn secrets. And I've been playing the hell out of that Disney Emoji Blast game.
Oh, I have too, actually.
I'm sorry.
Wait. How old are you again?
I am 42.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. No, there's no bones about that. I play this game way too much. I had dreams about an emoji game. I had dreams about it recently.
You're dreaming about in emojis now.
Sort of.
Disney emojis.
It's sort of
it's like a
match 3-4
styled game. But it's fun enough, and
each emoji has their own little power, and
they give you all the little.
So what's going on in your dreams? This is what I want to know at this point.
I see the damn puzzle board, and
Goofy's not coming. Gorsh.
Nope. No, Goofy.
You need to go to the left.
Maybe after I play Kingdom Hearts, it'll be like that. But that game's pretty damn addicting. I'm on level 20 or 21 now or something.
How many levels are there?
As you level up.
So I'm level 18, I think, right now.
You're playing a lot then.
I have been playing a lot. Yeah. It's basically like any bathroom break.
Yep.
Or any time I sit down for a minute, I'm like, I got to run through my five lives. All right, yep. Cool. Good to go.
I feel bad about it if I don't. Even I'm like today, okay, I'll be honest with you. Today, I did not have to go poop at work. But I was like, I got that. Your lives have refilled on emoji. I'm like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom now.
Suddenly, I feel the urge to poop.
Suddenly, I have the urge to poop, but not really. So, yeah.
So you don't even poop when you're in there? You just sit there? You don't even just try to squeeze one out or anything?
Maybe.
I had a job where I worked with a lot of people who smoked and took smoking breaks constantly.
Yeah.
And so I would, like, you know what? I don't take smoke breaks, so I'm going to go to the bathroom. I don't have to go, but I'm going to go because
exactly right.
I deserve
my 15 minutes, man. Just because I'm not smoking a cigarette doesn't mean I don't get a break.
That's right.
But, hashtag poop breaks.
I also started watching a series of unfortunate events on Netflix.
I've been wanting to see that. I'm waiting to watch it with my wife.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I finished it.
I watched the first two episodes last night.
Cool.
And I really enjoyed it.
Is NPH good?
Yeah.
No.
No, I think he is.
No.
So
okay, I'm going to ask a real opinion. Is NPH good?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Did you ever see the movie that Jim Carrey did? Mm-hmm. Did you like the movie
I never saw the movie.
I liked it, too. Mm-hmm. I thought I enjoyed it a lot.
I should watch the movie before I watched the series?
No, actually, no. Don't.
No?
Don't. It would ruin the experience for the show.
Oh, really?
I would agree. Like, if you had already seen the movie, that's one thing, but you don't need to see it to go into this.
That movie came out in, like, 2004.
Yeah. Mm. But I really enjoyed the movie. I have not read the books.
From what I understand, the movie really destroys the books. It's like nowhere near what the books do in the show. It's very straight from the books.
You know,
very tedious.
And Neil Patrick Harris did put out like a sort of a biography book, autobiography, but it was like a choose your own adventure type of autobiography.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, we when we get later on in the episode, we can talk about my thoughts on the show. I'll do my best not to spoil it for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I would actually watch it. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's all you've been up to?
That's all I've been up to.
Very cool.
Being on your show and being sick for a while.
Yeah, that's
been
fun.
Been catching up on Troll Hunters and...
You liking Troll Hunters?
I love Troll Hunters.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I watched the Ratchet & Clank movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Not very good at all.
It's okay.
The game is much better.
Oh, the game is much, much better.
It's a lot more entertaining.
And I love Ratchet & Clank, too.
I hope that doesn't ruin their chance to make another game. But
I don't think it will. No.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how well Spider-Man does.
Spider-Man?
The video game?
Oh, yeah, because they're doing a Spider-Man game.
Right.
That's right. That's going to be awesome.
And it's a PS4 exclusive, so I'm excited.
We'll talk about some video games coming up in What's Tickling Our Geek, because I have some.
You got some geeks to
I got some stuff tickling my geek coming up. But let's move on to our topic, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the show. We're going to get into a topic that was brought to us by George this week. It's LA Times did an article on the 32 best new theme park editions of 2016.
Right.
And we went to theme parks in 2016.
That's right. First time at Disney World.
Your first time at Disney World. And we wanted to talk about some of these attractions.
Well, I saw this article.
Hey, well, hold on. Dave, put down Emoji Blitz.
I did already.
Okay.
So I saw this article, and I just thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion, and I wanted to see, like, well, what would make a great theme park addition to you? What would you like to see at Disney World and Universal Studios and stuff like that?
We want to like make an amalgamation theme park with different rides from different. Because one of the things we're throwing around down the future is something we have to research more into. It's our favorite top 10 attractions, and that's something we're definitely going to have.
Apparently, that's something you guys have to really think about. I can probably tell you mine since I've only.
You can probably tell me my top three right now.
Haunted Mansion.
No.
Not really?
In your top three?
Okay, yes, it is.
I was like, that's a lie. Like, that's bullshit. Probably number two.
Bullshit lie.
Pirates.
Yes, sometimes. Top five, maybe.
Okay. Or is this Disney only?
No.
It's just everything. Because I don't know my Universal attractions as well.
We need to get you to Universal one day, dude.
Yeah.
Let's get back to this article. So...
All right, so 32 best new theme park additions.
A lot of the stuff I never even heard of.
2016.
Because a lot of it's in Abu Dhabi and like Dubai and stuff.
Well, we'll try to go with what we know and
okay,
kind of skip around a bit. But I just thought number one, the big one that we kind of talked about in length a little bit was the Shanghai Disney Resort.
I would love to go to Shanghai Disneyland.
They have a Magic Kingdom style theme park with two hotels and a downtown Disney shopping center and a 10-minute boat ride around Fantasyland, and that will depart from Storybook Castle and turd from Disney's icons, like biggest icons and stuff.
Turreted icons.
Turreted, whatever that means.
It means
basically the Storybook Castle is the tallest Disney castle.
Gotcha.
Because America, there's a limit of 199 feet.
Yeah.
Because of planes.
Right.
So they got a picture of what it's supposed to look like.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, that's what it does look like.
That looks like concept art here, but it's open. I've watched walkthrough videos of it, and it looks great. It looks very wide and very wide open. There's not a lot of attractions yet, but that Tron roller coaster, I want to go.
What are the chances of us getting a Tron coaster in Disney World anytime soon?
Never. Probably no.
So
I would say pretty good.
Like if a ride does well at one theme park enough, it should. Like, hey, we should put this at our other parks, right?
Sometimes
yes and no.
Yes and no. Some they will do that. A lot of times they'll also take the ride technology and use it for something new somewhere else.
Right.
So that wouldn't surprise me, especially because Epcot is supposed to be getting an overhaul mm-hmm. in the coming years.
One of the things they said about the Avatar Land coming up, which is opening this year in 2017,
right,
is that a lot of the technology that they've created for Shanghai Disney is going into those attractions.
Well, we saw some of the animatronics. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up.
And we saw some of the, when we were there, we could see
the construction of it, which is cool. Yeah. Which just looks cool from far away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it looks even better in person.
I think I mentioned on the show, our bus driver at one point, he took us out of his way to go around. He's like, hey, I want to slow down and show you the backside of the construction area. And we got to see like all the construction area for Avatar Land.
So number two on the list, I kind of agree with this. This kind of should belong on here. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yes.
It's pretty fucking amazing there. Like,
it is amazing. It's one of the best. Universal, it's on fire right now. Well, maybe
with the exception of me not fitting on the ride.
Well, we're not going to go there.
Well, see, pisses me off about this thing is that the day before I rode it just fine, and then the next day it didn't work.
I'm sure you'd be fine now, though. You've lost weight since we went.
But it's just that just ridiculous.
So well, this entry in the article specifically, it says that they're carbon copying the Harry Potter Land on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's what I
California
heard.
They
yeah.
did. They in Florida there's two parts now. There's Hogsmeade, which is the original one, right?
Yes.
And then Diagon Alley, which is the new area.
That's where Gringotts is and all that stuff.
Yes, the Gringotts bank ride.
What's really cool, though, it's hidden, which is what's fucking cool about it. It's hidden.
I like
the
Gringotts. Okay, let's go here. I think Diagon Alley, it's amazingly themed. It's a beautiful addition to the park. The Gringotts ride, it's not the best ride.
I thought it was pretty
fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
But
it's a fun, short ride.
Very, very short.
Yeah, it's a short ride.
I wish it was a little bit longer, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they all want it longer.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I really enjoy it. But walking through the queue is what makes it worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get to walk through the Gringotts bank and you go downstairs.
The animatronics are pretty damn creepy.
Yeah.
And really?
Like, if you go into one section of the bank, the animatronic actually interacts with you.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool. And then they got that big-ass dragon that shoots fire and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it happened supposedly every hour, but it never went off.
We saw it a few times.
I saw it once. No, twice.
I saw it a couple times.
It was pouring one time.
But there's a lot of little nook and crannies in that.
Yeah,
that's
what makes it
cool.
So I thought that should have been number one, but I haven't been to Shanghai Disney,
right,
so I
exactly.
can't say anything.
We have been to one of them. So what's number three on their list?
Number three, I don't agree with.
I don't agree with it either.
And it's the Skull Island Reign of Khan. Kong. So it's the King Kong attraction. Basically, it's the Peter Jackson.
Yes.
Like, jerk-off ride. Like, hey, we're sorry we fucked you over.
So Okay, so in Universal Studios Hollywood, right, they have the tram ride. And you get on the tram and you go through different rides and different attraction parts. Like, they have the Jaws is still there. You go through that in the...
Well, they got, like, a reminiscence of what Jaws used to be. Like, Jaws is still hanging there.
No, in Florida, but I'm talking about Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
On the tram ride, you actually still go through the water where Jaws really? Is. Yeah.
Where Amity is and stuff like that.
And there's... one of the new sections is King Kong, which opened maybe, I guess, last time I was there was, like, 3 or 4 years ago. And it's the same basic ride attraction as the Skull Island Reign of Kong. Although the one in Florida, of course, it seemed completely to the area. And it's a little bit longer, but the main part of the attraction is you get on that tram and you have the 360 video screen around you, and that's basically what it was.
Well, and they also repurposed the old school Kong animatronic from back in the day.
They don't have that in California, though.
Right.
The animatronic, but... I disagree with you there. I think it's a new animatronic.
It's not. It looks pretty damn identical.
It looks different. It looks better.
Well, they might have fixed the fur and the makeup on the face a bit, but the mechanics are still the same. It still does the same thing that the old one did.
True. Okay, I'll give you that. Which is not much.
But anyway, it's number 3 on their list as like the best edition, I guess, or one of the top editions. It's not that impressive. The ride's kind of meh. And the queue line's kind of boring.
Like, it's a long queue
line. And it doesn't really get interesting until you get right onto the ride, where they have all the like the caterpillar stuck in the glass box and stuff.
That was sort of creepy.
It was kind of creepy, but
it's cool, though. Except for that motherfucker that like jumps out at you during the I hate that. That's why I don't go on like...
It happens twice, I think, right?
It happened to me once. You warned me about it, too.
Yeah, and I gave you a heads up, because like, I know you don't like that stuff.
And, yeah... That's why I don't like going
think, personally, the atmosphere of the ride looks a lot more impressive from the outside.
Yeah.
Because they got, like, that mountain thing overpass, and it looks like real mountains, and it has that misty look to it.
And it has Kong sort of etched into the mountain, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's cool. And they got the big doors that open up, and there's also Jurassic Park right next to you. So. Yeah,
I love Jurassic Park.
So you don't do, like, Halloween... haunted houses.
I don't like haunted houses because I don't like...
We were there during the Halloween terror nights or whatever.
I like horror movies. That's not what the part that bothers me. It's the not being in control and people trying to jump out and scare me. I do not like that. That's what it is. Even though the last time we were in Hollywood, it was on a school trip, right? So our filmmaker society, we all got to go to Universal, and one of our guys in the group is in a wheelchair. So when we went through, they had a permanent haunted house there, which was like the old classic movie monsters and stuff like that. So I was pushing them around, and they did not bother me at all. They're like, yeah, we're not going to fuck with a dude pushing somebody in a wheelchair. And then to get upstairs, you had to go upstairs to get to part of that. We went through the elevator, and there was a nice employee. She's like, hi, how's your day going so far? We're like, okay, now we're really taken out of the moment.
Right.
But it's still fun, though.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to go through all 32, but I'll get to the top 5.
Sure.
Iron Man The Experience, which we watched on YouTube.
We watched the video on YouTube, and it does not look
it
great.
It doesn't look impressive, but I'm sure, like, if I watch the Transformer ride on YouTube, it's not very impressive
Same
either.
Same thing with Star Tours. If you, like, watch the Star Tours ride, you're like, oh, okay, it looks cool.
Yeah.
But until you experience, I can't really 100%.
Yeah, I can't say it, but... The video didn't look very impressive.
Well, and this says it's supposed to... It's very similar to Star Tours,
yes,
according to this.
Just the video felt boring.
Okay.
The actual ride part of it was like, oh, not
it's
a very
like
good
you're
story.
On, you're touring the...
you're touring Stark...
Stark's Tower and...
No, you're touring one of the... I guess it was during, like... Remember, like, in Iron Man 2, where they had the...
the Expo.
The Expo.
And then shit goes wrong, and then they has to fight somebody, and... You're tagged along for whatever reason.
Right.
This is going to be Dave's number favorite. Number,
number
five.
Yes!
So, apparently, Epcot updated something, and they put Frozen Ever After.
Okay, I've been on this ride.
Have you really?
I have been on this ride.
We didn't go on it while we were there.
There's always a fucking long line, but it was one of the rides I was able to get a fast pass for. Like 2 months in advance, I was like, you know what? I've got to ride it. I've got to at least be able to talk about it. I have seen the movie once,
so you can understand the references.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, there's some cool effects in it, but the animatronics that they use for the characters are freaking creepy because they project the faces on.
Oh, that's kind of their favorite new thing to do now, because they do that on the like the Seven Dwarves Mine Train.
They do.
Yeah.
Which I love the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. It's a short little ride, but it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's not worth a 3-hour wait.
No.
But it's fun.
It's maybe worth 45 minutes at the most.
Oh, yeah. No problem for that.
But, I mean, we got to ride it a couple times on this trip by FastPass. And then I think I said the story about how one of the guys, it was the night of the Halloween event we were there, Mickey's Not So Scary. Mm-hmm. I went to the guy. I wanted to ride Peter Pan, and there was still like a 2-hour line. He's like, oh, did you guys, are you celebrating your birthday? I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, here, hold on a second. He came back and he gave me a fast pass for Peter Pan for any time and the one for the Snow White ride.
So, cool.
And so we went next morning and rode him. No wait.
Cool.
Peter Pan ride is not worth a 2-hour wait.
So number 10 on the list. I'm just kind of skipping around. Uh-oh. trying to speed
you
up.
You missed number 6. This actually looks really cool.
Number 6. What's number 6?
It's called Lightning Rod at Dollywood. Well, I heard Dollywood has some great roller coasters.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah, Dolly Parton has a theme park called Dollywood. The Double D coaster is supposed to be amazing.
Double D coaster.
But this looks really cool.
Do you get in a bra or something?
You get in a bra, it's like, and it spins you around, you know. But this one looks really good. Dollywood's newest ride is being built as both the world's first launched wooden roller coaster and the world's fastest wooden coaster. So it's,
I know a lot of people who don't do wooden coasters, but I'll be totally down to ride it.
Yeah, this...
They don't age well.
No.
If you get on them when they're brand new, no problem.
Age does not do well for wooden roller coasters because they will jerk you around like a mother trucker.
I grew up... close to Six Flags over Texas.
Yep.
And
was it the Rattler?
No, the Rattler is in San Antonio.
No, that's not the Texas Cyclone.
It's the Texas Giant.
Texas Giant. That is a crazy one.
I remember when it opened, and it was awesome. And then a large number of years passed before I was able to go back. And me and a friend of mine, we redubbed it the Pain Train.
Yes.
Because it did not age
the Ball
well.
Buster.
Fuck, it hurt. Yes. Ride that thing. But they have refurbished it, and now it's better now.
It's still a wooden frame, but now it's an iron, like, the actual coaster part is iron.
Mm.
So it's on, like, so it was just a lot more smoother,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you still get the experience of being on a wooden roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
They did that to the Iron Rattler in a six part, or was the...
Fiesta Texas.
Yeah. I haven't been to a Six Flags park in years. I tried to go in 2016. We were in Dallas for a concert, and the day we are planning to go to Six Flags over Texas, I got strep throat.
Nice.
So awesome.
I'm planning to go back this year sometime.
So there's like Abu Dhabi has been like pumping out nothing but theme parks. They got Ferrari World. Apparently they teamed up with Lionsgate to make this place called Motion Gate Dubai. And they got like a Hunger Games attraction, and they got like this SFX roller coaster at Ferrari World, and it just seems like Abu Dhabi is trying to become like the entertainment destination of the world, kind of.
It is. I mean, there's so many, you know, people working there, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't mind going there.
So anyway, this if people want to interested, they can go check out the list at LA Times to see
what
more.
About the Flying Dinosaur or Jurassic Park roller coaster?
That's in
building.
Japan.
In Japan, yeah. Jurassic Park Japan, like, looks pretty cool.
China, I mean, Japan,
Universal Studios,
Abu Dhabi, they're getting all the good stuff. What's happening over here?
I want to go to Japan. That's one of my bucket list things.
I want to go to Japan, but I wouldn't go just for like a theme park.
No, I mean, I'm going to go
because
I'm there.
Japan,
but yeah, exactly. I want to go to Tokyo Disneyland. I want to go to Tokyo Disney Sea, and I want to go to the Universal Studio there. I
had some friends that just went there.
Actually, really?
A few months ago. Yeah.
It's supposed to be amazing.
So, now that y'all seen the article a little bit and y'all kind of seeing what they were talking about, attractions and stuff, what to you guys makes a great attraction at a theme park?
What makes a great attraction has to, number one, out of everything, it has to be fun.
Okay.
I mean,
well, why would it be an attraction if it's not fun?
There's some I can think of.
Like what? Name one. Name an attraction that's not fun. Don't hold back. Go ahead and...
I'm not holding back. I'm just trying to think about it.
Oh, I thought you said you had some on your tip of your tongue.
The theming has to be great. I think. It just has to be an overall fun experience.
Like, I'm only thinking about the stuff that I've been to and stuff I've been to recently. I've been to Disneyland, been to Disney World, and Universal Studios Florida.
Right.
Pretty much all of those stuff that they have pretty much knocks it out the park. But they're just like little tidbits that I think that would really add to the place.
So immersion is a key one for me.
Yeah, totally.
Talking about Six Flags versus Disney World. At Six Flags, there's minimal theming. The rides themselves aren't really immersive at all. It's, you know, like some...
And they're changing that a little bit, but nothing like what Disney or Universal will ever do.
Right. So, like, Six Flags Over Texas, there's a Mr. Freeze ride.
Right.
It's nominally about Mr. Freeze.
There's a Superman ride, and they just put Superman logo on it.
The Batman ride right next to the Mr. Freeze ride, same thing. Yeah. Like, it's nominally
about
Batman.
Do you remember the Batman Forever ride that was here in Houston?
The Ball Buster ride, yeah.
Yeah. Man,
that had some theming, though.
When I was a kid, man, that was the coolest thing ever. If you're from Houston and you went to
Astroworld, yeah, because like they would play the Prince soundtrack in the ride.
Well, they played the Tim Burton,
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman score.
Yeah. But they would
It was a story as you went through the queue.
Yeah.
It's like, so you start off with the car.
Until it started getting run down.
Well, yeah.
Couple years later.
And then they closed down. Yeah. But anyway, they started off with the Batman car, and then you saw the Batwing crash into the building, and then you're in, like, have to escape and stuff.
So if that was your definition of, like, immersion and theming until you went to Disney. You went to Disney, you're like, oh, that was great. And then you think back, but you're like, that wasn't that great at all.
Well,
really.
And so that's the thing. And so
in comparison,
to me,
no. But, I mean, it was still pretty cool.
And to me, that's why Six Flags, for example, banks really heavily on thrill rides.
Yeah.
Because they're not there really for theming so much. So they just make you go really fast. Mm-hmm. And for that, that's cool. So
sometimes you want that.
And so it's two very different things. So you go to Six Flags to ride roller coasters and just do roller coasters. But if you're talking about theme parks, because Six Flags, I guess, is more of an amusement park style park. But if you're talking about theme parks, then immersion is definitely important. I want to feel like I'm going somewhere else.
Right. And I think Disney and Universal really knocks it out the park, especially like the Simpsons Corner at Universal. It's so awesome.
The Simpsons ride is not the best ride.
I think it's not awesome because the projector's not great, because it hasn't gotten the upgrade.
It hasn't got the 4K upgrade.
It doesn't have
yet.
That 4K upgrade like all the other rides do, like Transformers and
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man ride. They all got that 4K upgrade. Simpsons still running on that old projector that Back to the Future had.
Yep, exactly right.
And
I missed the Back to the Future ride so much.
But like the carnival and like the
Moe's Tavern was awesome. We ate lunch there
and
one
then,
day.
Like the donuts outside.
Did you go on the Hurl and Twirl, whatever it was?
No, I didn't.
We didn't go on that either. That was cool.
I saw
though.
Kids going on it. And then like all the carny rides, it felt cool. It felt like I was in a different section of like something far removed from everywhere else.
It felt like you were in where Simpsons would be.
Right. And then you accidentally stumble upon the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And that just completely blows your...
Talk about immersion, dude.
Yeah. Like, everything felt like London. And
you need
English
to go to the Harry Potter attractions at Universal. Just, if nothing else, just to go... Just to experience it, Dave. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing.
It's just...
Even if you're not a fan of Harry Potter, too.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a big fan to appreciate... what they did there. The only thing that I wish they would have done is like shoot off like snow in the air, or like because it got snow everywhere else. Like, it's not real snow, but it looks like real snow from a distance. If they would have just shot like snowflakes in the air and stuff, it would have been kind of cool.
But I guess the thing about
I guess it's expensive.
The Harry Potter attraction or the areas in the parks. They're very narrow, the areas.
Well, because
they wanted it to feel like
area,
that.
Yeah.
But there's so many people around you. It's crazy.
Well, it's one of the most popular attractions there.
No, it is. Yeah.
And then riding the train was...
That was cool.
Awesome. I was glad I was fortunate enough to ride it back.
They only got to ride it once from Universal Studios to Island of Adventure.
And then I would definitely say Disney does great. Like, they did some great stuff. Like, when you're at the Muppet area, it feels very, like...
Muppety?
Like, you go into the Muppet Theater, like you would see in their movies. Or if you go to...
My favorite joke in that attraction, you know what it is? They have all those things hanging from the ceiling, and there's, like, a big net, and it's just full of Jello.
I don't remember that.
God.
No, not my joke, dude. But it's one of my favorite jokes on that ride. Is. Yeah. So it was a net full of Jello.
All I remember, some lady was really mad that you stole her seat.
That was bullshit. I didn't steal her seat. I was just trying to catch up to you guys.
But anyway, so...
That almost ruined the magic.
So immersion and then entertainment. Does, like, does the ride matter to you? Like, what kind of ride it is?
No. Sometimes, yes. Like, okay, the Minion ride, I rode that at Universal. It was my first time riding it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of those movies that much.
I like Despicable, but the first one.
It was fun. I mean...
I think it's funny. What was that one we went to, that Monsters, Inc. one?
The Laugh Floor?
Yeah. That was really impressive.
MILF?
I didn't know that they actually had a...
Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. MILF.
I got it the first time.
Oh, yeah. I'm just
you made the same joke while we were in line.
I know. I did.
So anyway, I was really impressed with what they did. I didn't know that they could perform a technology that seamless, that seemed that...
Did you happen to go see the Turtle Talk with Crush at Epcot?
We did not.
No, we didn't. We saw the Finding Nemo thing. But
it uses that same technology, but it's a little bit better refined. The Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor came first, and then they did the Turtle Talk with Crush, and it's more kid-centered. Because there's like a section up front where all the kids go sit, and he talks primarily to the children.
You basically go into a room, it's like a big like aquarium with
the
characters
so
in there.
So it's supposed to look like you're, because it's in the aquarium pavilion, and so it's supposed to look like you're just looking into the aquarium, and then Crush comes up and talks to you and talks to the kids, and it's all real-time.
It's all interactive.
And voice acted and stuff. It's really impressive. It's cool because I have kids and they get to go and talk to Crush and it's
right. When I go to those stuff like that, I always think about it from the perspective of a kid.
But to me, as somebody who's interested in technology and the arts and everything, I'm sitting there going, how the hell are they doing this? It's really impressive.
And even like the older stuff, like the, as corny as it was, the Carousel of Progress.
Oh, you gotta go to Carousel
but
of Progress.
It really feels like you're traveling in time for a bit, because, I mean, technically you kind of are, but it's pretty damn impressive.
We were watching something, they were talking about VR recently, and they're talking about the like VR games now, and the end part of, I said this to my wife, I was like, it reminds me now, what VR is now, reminded me of what the end part of Carousel of Progress was, when the grandma's playing the VR game.
Well, it's Back to the Future 2 is what
you're,
it is.
You're beating my score, Grandma. And you're like, I was like, that's what VR technology is now. Mm-hmm. So they pinpointed that pretty well.
So I guess it's going to bring me to my last point. So at what point do you think attractions get too old and need to be retired or revamped?
That's a really, that's a difficult one, because the stuff that's not good goes away and no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that is good sticks around forever, but doesn't necessarily age well. So you've got stuff like the Carousel of Progress, which hasn't aged well.
And they've updated it before, too.
Right.
But like
that's
in the 90s
been,
or
that's
true
been
thousands.
20 years since the update. But Carousel of Progress is like, if you went to Disney blind, like not literally blind, but not knowing about Disney history.
Like I did. I didn't know much about it till
Carousel of Progress doesn't really make a lot of sense. But hopefully it never goes away because it of how important it is in the history. Right?
It went away in California.
Well,
but so did Hollywood Tower Terror in California went away.
Yeah, it just closed.
But it's making room for a new ride.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
So that's what I'm kind of talking about. Like classic rides like that going away, what does that mean for like the classic stuff? When is it a good time to let go and embrace something new?
Well, and
like the Frozen attraction? Well,
which
that
made
or
the list it made the Tower
right, but I'm talking. Well, speaking of, I'm talking about the one in California, which is right next to where Tower of Terror is. they took the Amazing Aladdin show out to put Frozen. And the Aladdin show was great. I haven't seen the Frozen show yet.
Did someone almost die on that?
I think so. Yeah, you're right. The people
like,
that
like the actors, like the
there's a segment. There's a segment in the show where there's two actors on top of like the flying carpet, and they're really fucking high.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that.
Like for example, what I'm coming from, like the Shrek thing that we saw on Universal. Was it Universal? Yeah, it was Universal, right?
Shrek 4D.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't go on it this time. I'm sort of bored of that.
It was fun, but it feels really dated. But then you go to the Bugs Life thing at the Animal Kingdom. Mm. It's really fun, but it doesn't feel dated.
It's probably just as old, too.
It is, maybe, if not older.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see, like,
Never been on that, right?
No.
At what point do you think, like, well, they should just change it up or revamp it?
The thing, I think part of it, too, like, as somebody who's such a fan, the history of a lot of things kind of makes them sacred,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you've got things like the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean, which aren't going to go away. I don't think that,
but they've updated the Pirates,
but they have
added stuff to it.
They can make modifications. And so I feel like that's a good way to handle things. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff that I wish they'd just update. You know, it's like, this is cool, but they need to update it.
Like the thing the Epcot thing that big ball.
Spaceship Earth?
Yeah, Spaceship Earth. It looks cool.
It gets updated every so often.
Yeah.
And it's due for another one.
Yeah, it feels like it's due for another update.
I hate the ending of it because it's like you're concentrating on the touchscreen, you know what I mean?
Oh, I don't. At that part, because I'm looking at, you're going through the hall of like blue lights. I watch the blue lights because I like it. But,
yeah, but. It's Spaceship Earth, not hollow blue lights.
Yeah.
LEDs.
But I don't know. You also think about how Walt would have viewed your question.
Mm-hmm.
And based on how he spoke and how he handled everything, he'd be open to change. He'd be open to be like, yeah, well, that thing's done.
I would imagine he's a man of progress. Like, he would want something to always get better.
He always said
Disneyland
will never be complete. It'll never be finished because there's always things to do.
Yeah,
to add to it. And that's every part they've ever made. They keep on adding and changing. And you get the purists and you get people that are like, oh, you know, they changed this. Well, that's okay. Like, we don't like Frozen Ever After. Because they changed it from Maelstrom, right?
Yeah, but the ride's not for you anymore.
Right.
It's for children.
It's for the people that people that like the movie and they like that attraction, because there's always a fucking 2-hour or 3-hour wait. But it's so it's
Peter
definitely
Pan,
for something.
God's sakes.
Well, this is the slow loading attraction for some reason. I don't know why. I've never been able to figure out that anomaly. Why is Peter Pan such a long
always
no matter how busy the park is, there'd be like 50 people in the park and it's still an hour wait for the ride. Like, what is going on with
this
attraction?
Maybe that's just their go-to number, so it just turns people away,
right? No, there's always a line, but
it's hard though, 'cause I think part of the conservative impulse to be like, no, we have to keep this thing and we need to keep it the way that it is, I think that part of that impulse comes from when we've seen things change for the worse.
Yeah.
And we were like, no, we need to keep these icons so that we remember how it's done.
I have a great example that what you're talking about right now. Journey into Imagination. When they changed it from the original, they like, we're going to update it. We're going to change it around.
Well, now it's a CGI, right?
Well, no, they not just that. They took Figment out of it completely.
Oh.
They had such a backlash from the fans. They're like, oh, well, maybe we should add him back in. It's not as good as the original attraction when it is now,
mm-hmm.
but at least they've added that character back in and they've sort of retrofitted it back into the attraction.
Was he more a part of the ride than when he
originally?
Now? Yeah.
Well, he's still part of the big part of the ride now, but the original ride had this huge animatronic when he first came in.
Oh, cool.
The Dreamfinder character, which is completely gone now. But there was a little bit different. I mean, this is more, I like the original one much, much better.
Well, is that because you're you have like nostalgia to it, or nostalgia, is it actually, definitely, is it because it's better?
No, I can say I think it's a better attraction, but I mean the new one's still fun, but it's not. It doesn't hold a candle to the original. And after they took him out completely, people went crazy. They're like, "Wow, maybe we should put it back into rehab and fix it."
So, Carrie, put a pin on this. How would you? When would you find out? Is it time to update or remove a classic ride? And kind of close this out.
When is the time?
Yeah, when would be a good time for you? Like, you know, it's at its peak. It's been around for like 60 plus years. Hasn't been updated much. Time to give it the boot or give it a facelift.
Well, yeah, I would definitely say facelift because, I mean, there's attractions like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and Disneyland.
Well, those are never going to go away.
Right, but they just, they didn't change any of the ride portion of it. They just added... They plussed it is what Disney calls it. They added one of where the part of the attraction where it takes you up. They added like you're going into an explosion, like you of TNT around
like the
you.
Everest ride,
sort of. Yeah, like something like that. They just made it better. That's what they need to do. I mean, do you have any? I'm looking at you, Dave. Any attraction that you think at Disney that should just go right now? There's like there's no point
to make room for more stuff. I mean, Star Wars is on the horizon.
Well, yeah,
They have plans for that being built. It's already being built as we're talking right now. And Avatar Land is almost done.
Almost done, yeah.
And they had to nix out a lot of stuff from Animal Kingdom to do that.
A few things they moved things around is what they did. They moved the Lion King attraction that we went on from over there to a different part of the park, which makes sense where they put it.
That's a great show. I'm glad they moved it rather
instead
than
of
getting
rid of it. Yeah,
it's a really good show.
I almost
show.
Said deleted it. That's not right.
I don't... Stuff that I would be like, okay, it can go. They need to scrub what was... God, what do they call it?
You're talking about Wonder of the Life? The Wonder of the Life Pavilion they just use now for like special events.
That would be cool if they could bring that back. Because I never experienced any of that.
It was cool.
But
it was like
what?
It was like Star Tours, but it was like the movie Interspace.
Mm-hmm. Interventions. They need to fucking scrub Interventions and
there's not much left in there.
I know. And they need to wipe it clean. Get new sponsors and update that shit and make it exciting again. But if you notice, I'm still saying it should still be the same idea. Yeah. It just needs to be updated again. So what needs to be gone and replaced entirely? It's happening to Stitch, which needs it.
Yes.
Eventually
it's going to happen. They haven't announced it yet.
It's happening.
Yeah. Well, I know what's happening. That's what happens when you go into, holiday visitation or whatever you call it when you call it.
Yeah, it's
on only open
leg.
On. It's only open.
It's
when
only
it's
open
really
when
busy.
The park is really full.
And I read an article recently where it was like super super busy and they didn't open it.
Also, you got to remember at Universal Studios they're going to start making plans for a Mario or Nintendo World.
Yeah, Nintendo World.
So what are they going to get rid of at Universal Studios to fit that? They're kind of landlocked for the most part.
Yes and no. They from what I hear, it's going to be either built into the park or a new park.
A new park, like off park, like another Adventure Island kind of deal.
Yeah. But I don't know yet. I mean,
there's not a lot of space there where they are.
There's not really that much space left.
So that just makes me curious.
That's why
I'm also bringing it up.
So they got rid of Jaws in Florida to make room for Diagon Alley, probably
it
wiser.
It was a really old ride.
Yeah, it was still fun though.
It was fun, but it was more of a nostalgic thing. It wasn't really an extremely entertaining ride.
What about like Jungle Cruise? They could update that,
No,
don't change it. Just update
it. It could be. Updated.
They should incorporate Jungle Book into the Jungle Cruise. No.
No,
I didn't get to ride it because it was shut down.
No,
when we were there.
Oh really?
It's been shut down the last three times I've gone.
Wow.
Okay, so is that like a telltale sign that it's
no,
going
no, no,
because
no.
they when it runs, because they just added a restaurant to it, and when it runs, it
Skipper
runs,
Skipper
the Skipper's
Canteen was great.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that.
I think you'll really enjoy it.
I don't know if that would Jungle Book would fit with that really, because the tone of it is very different.
Oh, I was just going with the name and Disney.
But I think to wrap up your segment here, I definitely agree. There's room, always room for improvement. Like what Walt Disney said, we're never going to stop making magic, never stop making things better. And I think Universal, I think, is doing a little bit better job right now.
See, when we first
until
came
Star
back,
Wars opens,
when we came
then they're
back,
gonna be like, "Oh fuck, we're screwed."
When we came back from right immediately, I said, "Universal had the better rides, but Disney was the better park," and that's simply because Disney was a lot more relaxing and a lot more comfortable. Universal can learn a few things from Disney about being comfortable, because those queue lines are unbearable, and even with the Speed Pass, it's not that fun. And that was like my biggest gripe, really. There should be more seating area, like stuff like that. Like in Harry Potter, there was nowhere to sit down.
No.
Unless you were sitting down on the steps, and when you were, there's a show about to start where those steps are, so you got to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. There's no place to stop it in any of the Harry Potter areas. Right. It's just like,
unless you're going in the gift shop, but then you're still standing.
It's what I call it, being in a concert when there's too many people. It's called nut to butt. You can't move without touching
the elbows.
That's true too. All right.
So anyway, that was my theme park. I saw the article and I figured I'd talk to my two theme park experts and let us know what you guys
think.
Then you
wound up talking to us.
Yeah. And then so I want everyone else who's listening to let us know what you think. What do you think about the list on LA Times? That's probably an old article, but I thought it was interesting. Let us know what you think makes a great theme park ride, or which one has the better theme park?
You can email us at msrcast@gmail.com, or you can find us at Metal Geeks on all the social medias, the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagrams. Let us know what you thought about this.
Yeah, we really want to have a conversation. And you know,
what's your favorite attraction? What attraction do you think needs to be changed, too?
I was really sad to hear about Hollywood Tower of Terror, but I'm kind of intrigued to see a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yep, I'm going to feel the same way.
And Star Wars is coming. That's all I'm saying.
It's coming. It's coming sooner than later. They're putting a lot of money into that.
Sure are. But, you know, it's Star Wars.
All right.
They got to make money.
So let's wrap up the segment, and we have some metal to listen to.
All right.
George Hates Metal this week was the band known as Sepultura.
So Sepultura has a new album out called Machine Messiah. Just came out like last week, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Brand new.
Yep.
Stinking new. Just like right off the shelf. Hot.
Machine Messiah. We heard the first two tracks on the album.
I thought we heard more than that.
Well, we heard a little bit of the third song. We heard Machine Messiah, which is like the intro song, title track, and we heard I Am the Enemy. Now, let's get your opinion on this metal.
I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it. But I'm an old Sepultura fan, so it's not hard to please me with Sepultura.
You say that weird.
That's not hard to please me with Sepultura?
Sepultura. There you go.
Sepultura.
See, you did it again.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, no.
You're not.
No, you're not, actually.
You're putting that L in the wrong place.
Sepultura.
Get that L out of here. So, is there something you would go back to?
Oh, totally. I'm probably going to listen to it tomorrow at work. Probably
Me
listen
too.
To the whole album, see what I really think about it. But first impressions, pretty good.
Wow.
It reminds me of, like I was telling you when we were listening to it, like late 90s, early 2000s Sepultura.
There's actually, there's a little bit of combination of some of that, you know, a little bit of the Roots era, but I heard a couple of things where I was like, ooh, there's a little bit too much core for me.
They got to branch out a bit, man. They got to reach out.
Well, they sort of started that core sound, you know, that all that metalcore stuff. It was started by Sepultura.
With Roots.
Yeah. Even before Roots a little bit.
That's probably where they caught me, though. That's probably when I became a fan.
Mm.
So that's actually where I stepped out on Sepultura.
Me too, a little bit. I liked that album a little bit.
I heard it when it was probably pretty recently out, and I didn't care for it. And so I haven't kept up with Sepultura. I haven't listened to it. I don't think anything between Roots and this album. I'm looking at the list right now.
Wow.
I don't think I've probably heard Against.
Against with an okay album.
I've probably heard that, but I don't think I've listened to anything else between then and now. But with what I've heard of this album, I've listened to more of it than you guys have, I think. But
yep.
I'm enjoying it, and it's making me want to go back and revisit some of this.
And Sepultura is also the reason why I discovered Soulfly, and I like Soulfly a lot, at least for the first two albums.
And a lot of people don't give a lot of credit to the Derek Green albums. There's some really good stuff there after Max left the band, you know? So I'm trying to think, what was the last album that Max Cavalera was actually on?
I
was it?
Tell you real quick. So
the Cavalera Brothers?
The Cavalera.
So I think Roots was the first album without him. Because
no,
that,
Roots was with him.
I thought it wasn't. Thought that was when Igor took over the writing.
No, he was definitely, Max Cavalera was definitely in Roots.
Okay. So
I think it's...
It would have to be, then Against would have to be the first one without him.
Yep. It's the first band's release was new frontman Derek Green. So he's been in the band since 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He's done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 albums with the band.
So he's been in the band longer than Max was. Basically.
Pretty much, so. Right? At this point, yeah. Because Morbid Visions came out in 86,
mm-hmm.
and he left in 96, so it was only a 10-year period.
Yep.
In 1998 to 2017, that's almost a...
Almost 20 years.
Jeez. Almost. 19 years right now.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, this is making me want to go
The new
back.
Singer, as people go back and call him. The new guy.
It's making me want to go back and check out some of the stuff that I have never listened to before.
Dude, stop calling me the new guy. I've been in the band for 19 fucking years. It's like the new singer from Halloween, Andy Darris. Everybody's like, oh, he's the new singer. He's been in the band longer than every other singer combined. He's been in the band for like 25 years.
He was the singer that worked out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're doing that tour this year. Hopefully it'll come anywhere in America, because I will go to this. The Halloween's doing their reunion tour, so they're going to have...
Oh, we're still talking about Halloween.
Yeah, we are now. It's going to have both vocalists and a bunch of people that used to be in the band. It's going to be pretty awesome.
I don't remember liking Halloween.
I don't think you would.
You
like
know.
I
you
think,
don't.
I think we listened to...
We did listen to another metal band tonight. We listened to a little bit of the new Firewind, a Greek band who I think you should...
Ooh, just because I'm Greek, I'm
It's because you're Greek,
like
you should like them.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's not as bad as some other hair crappy metal you played.
That's not hair metal, dude. It's power not, metal.
Okay. It's all the same.
Even though there's a really hair metally song on this album. I'll give that to you.
It's not my thing. I don't like that kind of music or that kind of metal. And but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
You know what? I'll take that.
Yeah.
Because would you listen to it?
I knew who Firewind was beforehand, before you let me listen to it.
Sure. Firewind actually features Gus G. It's his band, who's now he's actually the guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne's band.
Yeah, it's so. Still happening.
Still happening, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still...
Ozzy Osbourne's still alive.
That's been...
Somehow.
That's been quite some time now.
Yeah,
he's been the guitarist.
5-something years,
yeah.
Maybe.
Still making music, huh?
Still making that music.
Aaron left me. That's what it all sounds like.
I've heard the new song, and that's what it sounds like. All right, so Sepultura, yes?
Yeah, no? Totally. I'm probably going to listen to it on the way home.
Firewind, yes?
Probably no.
Probably no.
That's a big fat no. Except for that Maniac song. What an earworm.
Yeah. They picked a good song to cover.
She's a maniac.
All right, we're going to leave it at that one.
All right. All right, so it's that time of the week, everyone, where we get together and tickle our geeks with one another.
Collectively.
Yeah. Maybe a little too hard sometimes.
Some people like it hard. You never know.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So, Carrie, what's been tickling your geek this week?
We already talked about Dead Rising, and we talked about the damn Disney emoji game.
Yeah. There's got to be something else that's tickling that geek.
There's a couple really cool trailers that are tickling my geek.
Oh, no. Trailers.
Trailers.
Okay.
Did you check out the new Logan, the Red Band Logan trailer?
Is that the one where Charles Xavier says fuck at the end?
Yes.
It's awesome, right?
That movie is going to be fucking amazing.
Are you calling it now? Best comic book movie of the year?
What else is coming out this year?
Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I don't know if Logan will be better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but... Okay, best X-Men related comic book movie this year.
I'll give you that. It probably will be the best X-Men movie...
Ever.
Ever. Or to date.
To date, yeah. It looks really, really good.
It looks probably the best thing since Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Days of Future Past.
So...
I really liked Apocalypse a little bit.
After
I hated Apocalypse.
So the first trailer was really good.
The Johnny Cash.
But
hurt.
That made me think maybe they're playing me with this whole Johnny Cash Nine Inch Nails angle. You know, because everything sounds cool with that.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like maybe they're playing me. I mean, it looks cool.
I want to test that theory. I want to recut trailers with that song in the background now.
Everything looks cool with that trailer.
Yeah.
But it has to be like start out in black and white.
Yeah.
And it has to be like a slow moving trailer.
So what'd you think? We watched the new trailer.
So the
this
new
evening.
Trailer, I'm like, fuck, this looks really, really good.
X-23, come on. She's going to kick some ass.
Apparently. Yeah. Jesus.
What's her name? Laura, right?
Thanks. It's something with an L.
Yeah.
Because of alliteration. Logan, Laura. Yeah.
I think it's Laura.
Yeah.
It's going to be, yeah.
So
it comes out in March,
too. Is that the only trailer you've been watching, or?
That's the one I want to talk about.
Oh, is that the one you're just uber geeked out about?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What about you?
What have I been geeking out this week? So I discovered a new podcast thanks to Justin, and he found it thanks to someone else.
I've downloaded it. I have not listened to it yet.
It is probably my favorite podcast besides our own and Mind Fudge. Probably my favorite podcast to listen to.
And MSRcast.
Yeah.
You don't listen to that
sure.
one.
Sure.
We're going to make you come on that show one day.
Sure. I want to be the quietest person on that episode. Anyway, it's
and
a...
Here's George Cricket.
It's called Hello for the Magic Tavern.
Yes.
And it is super funny.
Have you heard of this, Dave?
No.
Okay, I think this is something you would really like.
It's a short podcast, like 20 to 30 minutes each episode. And it's about this guy who fell through a magical rift behind a Burger King who he happened to have all his podcasting gear in his backpack when he fell through this rift. And he arrived in this world, this magical world called Foon. And he hangs out in this place of tavern in Hog's Face called the, God damn it. I can't remember the name of the tavern right now. But anyway, he falls, he's in this tavern and weekly he hangs out with people, the magical land of Foon, and he interviews them for 20 minutes. And it's fucking awesome. They got reoccurring characters. This is a guy named Chunt, who's a shapeshifter. who currently has the shape of a badger, so he's a talking badger. And then there's a magical wizard called Usador, something rather. He has a huge, long name, and every episode he feels intended to tell you. And it's a funny show. It's been out since 2015, so I have no idea how I missed it, but they have like 100 episodes, I think, or 99 episodes. Mm. And if you haven't listened to it, check it out.
What's it called again?
Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Sounds like fun.
It's really fun. And what else have I been watching? I've watched The Exorcist, finally.
Yeah, Justin was talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Justin was really like oogoo gaga over that. And I thought I'd give it a shot. And he was right. It was a really good show. I think the last episode of that show was probably some of the best TV of last year.
Wow. I've been watching The Good Place. It's pretty fun. I like that show a lot.
That's with, what's his face?
What's
Ted
his face?
Danson.
Ted Danson. Yep.
And what's her name? That other name. The annoying chick.
She's not annoying.
God, what's her name? She was in Veronica Mars.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. She's kind of annoying.
Mm.
Kind of annoying and kind of not funny. But
I don't know why we're looking at Dave.
I don't know.
Dave's
yeah,
like, I don't know.
I don't have strong opinions.
Dave was giving
Kristen
me like this
Bell.
Weird look. She's like, how could you say that? What else?
I think the show was great, though. I mean,
yeah.
Son of the Horn, I've been digging that. I know you don't like it, but...
I tried watching it. It wasn't funny.
It's right up my alley.
It's not as clever as it thinks it is. And that's probably the best rating I can give.
Okay.
I saw Martin Scorsese's Silence. It's like his art house movie that he's been trying to make for 30 years. If you ever seen Last Temptation of Christ, mm-hmm. you would probably like this movie.
I probably won't then.
It's a tough movie. It's not that it's not good. It's just a tough movie to watch. It's 3 hours long.
Holy crap, really?
And it's really slow with no score, no music.
Wow.
And it's about these two Jesuit priests who go looking for a priest who goes missing in Japan.
Adam Driver and who else?
Andrew Garfield and yeah. Liam Neeson.
I would watch the shit out of this.
it's really good. I enjoyed it. Like it wasn't a movie I enjoyed watching, but I enjoyed more. I thought about it after I left the theater. Because it's really a movie about what faith is and what faith really means to you and to other people in other cultures. And it's a really powerful movie, I think. It has some great messages in it. I just think it could have been better edited together to not be 3 hours long.
Sure. It's Scorsese, though.
Yeah.
He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Like, it sags a little bit in the middle is probably my biggest complaint. But
just like us.
But it's great in the beginning and great in the end, so it was worth watching.
That's us too.
It's not very much. It's not going to be playing in theaters for much longer.
Yeah.
So if people want to see
Oscar bait, right?
I don't think so.
What was the name of it again?
Silence.
Silence. Okay.
And so basically, Liam Neeson goes missing in Japan.
Yeah.
And these two priests go looking for him.
So
but
Liam Neeson goes missing this time.
Yeah.
Not his daughter. Wow.
And so in Japan during this time in the 1600s? I don't remember the time year, but it's like where Christianity is outlawed in Japan, and like they're killing motherfuckers for being Christian and stuff.
Hmm.
Like some of the death scenes are pretty brutal.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray or something.
Yeah, watch it on like Netflix or HBO or something. It's totally worth watching. I think it's worth watching at least once.
What about you,
Just
Dave?
Like Last Temptation of Christ.
What's tickling your geek, Dave?
So I found out that a game came out last year that I had no idea was coming.
Because you were playing Doom?
Because I was playing Doom. That's
probably true.
So the Cyan Worlds, the studio that created the Myst series of games.
Right, yeah. I used to play Myst.
Myst is one of my favorite game series of all time.
Can I say the joke now before you continue?
No.
So you missed
no, you
the new game?
No, you don't get to use the joke.
But
at all.
I got to use it.
Myst and Riven in particular, the sequel to it. Riven is one of my favorite game experiences ever. I fucking loved all of it. So they put out a new game last year, and I found out about it because in one of the like news aggregate things that I was looking at, there was an interview. Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything, all that stuff, interviews one of the founders of Cyan Worlds about this game, and I'm like, I didn't even know they were doing it.
Is it like a Steam game, or?
It's on Steam.
Have you bought it yet?
I don't. It's on my Steam wish list if anyone out there wants to get it for me.
When's your birthday?
My birthday's not until June.
Damn.
Toss out your handle just in case you have a buyer out there.
Fuck, I don't even remember what my Steam handle is.
Well, you're not prepared. Nobody's going to buy that shit for you.
But yeah, it's called Abduction. And it's...
Do you abduct people?
You get abducted.
Oh.
And
by aliens?
By something. Oh. So I watched... I didn't watch all of the interview. I think it was... I think it was over an hour long. But I watched a good amount of it until they started getting kind of spoilery.
Mm.
And I was like, no. Nope. I can't do it. Because part of the way they do games...
it's the experience.
The discovery is a major part of the experience. Their stuff doesn't have really high replay value because once you've discovered it, now you know.
It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
So
once you know the secret, it's not fun.
I don't know. Breakthrough is fun.
And that's the thing, though. I think that's actually an okay analogy that. The surprise is never surprising again. The discovery is never new again.
Yeah.
But it can still be fun to go back through and look at it and see if there were details that you missed last time or something like that.
Go back and revisit.
Yeah. So I do that. I will go back and play the Myst games a little bit. But that they have something new out and that it's a new property. And Rand Miller, in the interview, he was saying that they originally had planned for this to be another Myst game. But then once they got into it, they realized there's already been so much in the Myst world, because there were novels. I read the novels. I have them on my bookshelf. There were novels, a whole series of games.
Don't hate me back another joke.
Shut up.
They missed their opportunity.
But what he saw was part of the Myst experience is that you don't know what any of this is.
Have they remastered that game recently?
A couple of times.
They have, really.
A couple
of
times, yeah. One of them isn't really good. There's another one that's okay. But yeah, he said they decided that there was already so much in the Myst mythos that it was really difficult for them to now create a new experience that would have that foreign feeling, because part of it is you go into these worlds and you don't know what anything is, why it's there, how it works, and that part of the joy of the game is figuring all of that out. So they've taken that same model and they've created a whole new kind of universe. So you show up on some like alien planet and there's all this stuff there that doesn't make any sense. And it's not that it doesn't make sense because it's aliens. It's like the cover of the game, it's like this alien landscape, but like a suburban house that we would recognize in the middle of it. So why is it there? All this kind of stuff.
Oh, cool. You
know? Sounds cool.
So
that looks fun. How much is the game?
I think it's $40 on Steam right now.
Why you haven't bought it?
Wait for that Steam sale.
It's been rated very well. It's 9 out of 10 on Steam, 4.5 out of 5 on GOG.
That's good.
So. Yeah, that's what's tickling me. I'm a big fan of the studio and the work that they do.
Maybe they'll release it on like a PS4 or Xbox One.
They are, actually. He talked about that in the interview. I don't think it's out for PS4 yet, but I think it will be.
Speaking of out for PS4, I picked up a game today that is tickling my geek as well.
Tickling it hard?
Pretty much. I'm a huge Kingdom Hearts fan, and they just released Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8. Final Chapter Prologue. It's a long title, but...
So, it's the game before the final game?
Okay, so, they've done 1 and 1.5, and they've done 2.5. This is everything after that until leading up to what 3 is going to be.
Why not just be, like, DLC content?
Because they want to do it this way. Because this includes Dream Drop Distance HD, so they took the 3DS game... And they've remastered and made it into a PS4 game, basically.
Oh, cool. Hopefully it plays well.
Yeah, I hope so. I played a little bit of the 3DS game. I just never completed it.
So for anyone who doesn't know what Kingdom Hearts is, if you're like me,
yes.
It's basically Final Fantasy goes to Disney World.
Yes. Goes to Disney World. Plural.
Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like Disney Infinity meets Final Fantasy.
It's not really... Okay, so the gameplay-wise, it's definitely different than the normal Final Fantasy game. The new Final Fantasy 15, it's taking its cues from Kingdom Hearts. So it's more of an action RPG game. So everything is just... You don't find an enemy and then stop and then do your
turn-based.
I hate turn-based strategy games. I hate turn-based RPG games. It's just not my thing.
I don't know. Maybe I'll borrow it from you. Maybe if I enjoy it, I'll play it.
It's
but
fun.
I don't like Final Fantasy games. I don't think they're very fun.
If you're a Disney fan, you're a Disney nerd, you would enjoy these games.
All right.
Because you get to go to, like, you know, Little Mermaid World, or you go to Nightmare Before Christmas, or you go to Peter Pan.
Any Haunted Mansion stuff?
Chernabog's one of the villains in it.
Chernabog is a villain in
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So. All right. So there you go.
And Maleficent is also a villain. Big villain.
Well, she's always been a villain, yeah.
But yeah, it's the Kingdom Hearts game, and I also just ordered today from Amazon the new Resident Evil 7.
I saw a lot of that gameplay online today.
Yeah, I saw some reviews, which I was sort of on the fence about it. I saw some reviews on it, and then I saw some people on my friend feed, and they like really were digging it. So yeah, it's definitely not a normal Resident Evil game.
Mm.
They say it's first person game now, and it's pretty gory and pretty scary. From they say, and it's not really a zombie based game.
Not really my kind of game. I don't like those kind of games.
They say it's the best game in this genre since Alien.
Alien Isolation.
Isolation, yeah.
See, that was a game I couldn't play. I had to watch people play it.
Yeah.
I freaked out too much. I rented it and I wigged out and I kept dying. And I was like, fuck this game after like my 20th death.
There you go. That was me and my first playthrough was that Doom game. Like, fuck this game. This game's too damn hard.
All right, so that does it for all our geek tickling for the week.
My geek has been sufficiently tickled once again.
Yeah, we tickled it hard.
And that brings us to the close of another episode of the Metal Geeks podcast.
Put that metal in your geek.
That's right. With everybody having a good time. Did you have fun, man?
I love talking about theme parks because I don't know a lot about it, and I learn more every time I talk about it.
That's good. That's true. We feel like we're experts now, and we're really not. But we just know more than you do.
So that makes you feel better about yourself, that's right. Basically.
Hey,
it's like picking on the little kid.
I'm pretty sure that the general wisdom is always hang out with people who know less than you do so that you can feel really smart all the time.
Yeah. Or on the opposite end.
Is that what Socrates did?
That's what...
Yes. No, on the opposite end is hang out with people that know more than you do.
That doesn't sound as fun.
No.
Yeah, but you learn more that way.
I guess.
Yeah, you pick up more.
That's true. Because... You know, people always say I'm an expert at something, and I'm like, dude, you're not an expert at something, because if you're an expert, there's always something to learn about that topic, so you never really know everything.
So what about experts in their fields?
They're not really experts. They just know a shit ton.
Okay.
It's true, though. I mean, if you're an expert at something, that means you sort of like stop learning. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you don't stop learning, but, you know.
I don't know.
You know enough to the point where you're at expert level, but there's always more to learn. Is that what you're trying to get
at? There's always that nightmare level.
The ultra nightmare level.
If you're an ultra nightmare level expert, then I'll talk to you about something.
Okay.
But before that, Carrie can't be bothered.
Nope. Regular expert? No. Medium? No. Beginner? Fuck no.
Get the fuck out of my face with that beginner shit.
So I would like to wrap up the show. Let's talk about your new podcast real quick.
Yeah, new podcast is called Mind Fudge Comedy Hour. It stars me, Justin, and Princess Sophia, a.k.a. Andy.
I got my new princess name.
Yeah, it's Princess Menorah.
No, you have to listen.
I ruined it for everybody.
You have to listen to the episode to find out.
Oh, well, I cat's out of the bag.
Yep.
If you're listening this far. It's a Mind Fudge Comedy Hour, and we just have funny conversations once a week, and it's fun. If you check it out and you like it, please rate the show and tell us what you think and write some questions. We usually toss those in the show.
And we'll definitely link to it in the show notes here, too.
And also, again, Speak No Evil Issue 2 is coming up very soon. We'll probably go into printers in the next week or so. And so keep your eye open for that. And
I'm in that one.
Yeah, you are.
Can't wait to see that.
And
I will autograph copies.
You autograph your page?
I'll autograph my page.
You know, you probably could. You could probably put a big circle like, this is me.
That's right.
And write Carrie right there.
I've gone to a GameStop before and I've like autographed like Rock Band games that I've worked on.
Oh, yeah? Kids are like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, they don't care. I don't care either. But
so anyway, Speak No Evil, go to Grey Bear Comics, G-R-A-Y. We're also going to be start doing some shows here coming up in March and February. So we'll keep you updated.
I guess it'll be a Comic Palooza for sure, right?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. I'll definitely be there. What about you, Dave? Will you be there?
Comic Palooza?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We'll have to do some another live show, I think, this year. Because it's only 3 months away.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost February, so the show's in May this year. May 12th through the 14th.
Wow.
Yeah, it's only 3.5 months away.
It makes me feel like Christmas felt like it was just last like a month ago, less than a month ago.
I know.
Where does time go?
It goes away and you get older and die.
Just wither up and turn into a prune.
You just get older and hopefully there's cool stuff to keep you occupied while you're living.
Star Wars movies is all I have to look forward to.
And Marvel.
And Marvel.
A shit ton of Marvel movies. Anything from Disney. But yes, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Metal Geeks podcast. You can again find us on all the social medias at Metal Geeks, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. And go ahead, like George was saying, leave a review on our show too. It really does help people find the show. And if you like the show, let people know about it.
Yeah, let us know what you think about the show. Reach out to us. You know, if you got some comments, we'll do, start doing a fan mail segment.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have any recommendations for like George Hates Metal or any of our segments, let us know. Send, you can also email us at msrcast@gmail.com, which if you don't know, MSRcast is a sister podcast to this very show where we talk about, yep, metal. Only metal.
Technically, Metal Geeks would be the sister show of MSRcast, right?
Yes, because MSRcast was started...
First.
It was started almost 12 years ago, 11 years ago. So, yeah. Old-timer. I'm an old podcaster.
Old time. Were y'all using old condenser mics back then?
We used really old... We used two cups and a string. That's how it was.
Can you hear me over there?
Welcome to the show. All right, so what about Dave? Where can people find your stuff right now?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RedVikingDave. See what artwork I'm working on. And like I said, I think I said this last time, all my projects are in flux at the moment. Nothing is going away, but everything is changing. So
awesome. We'll find out about that soon.
Yeah. So
I have some changes in my life that we might get to eventually down the road, but we'll wait on that for now. But in the meantime, I would like
that sex change operation.
No, I'm still saving up for that. I would like to talk about headphones.
Oh, you like headphones?
I like headphones.
I love headphones.
What kind of headphones do you like?
I love tweakedaudio.com headphones.
Really? Yeah. Why is that?
Because they really tweak up the audio in my ear holes.
Is that what they do?
No, it's crystal clear. My birthday's coming up. I can always use a new pair.
It's true.
So you go to tip your order. That also comes with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping.
Which I do every day. And last but not least, you can find us. I think we'll be able to announce it by the next episode. But right now, you can still find us on cast.com and, of course, the home for the show, metalgeeks.net, which we'll rehaul this shit. But you guys have anything else to say? Just keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky. All right. That works too. Huh?
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.